Please join me in prayer. We are waiting, O Lord, and while we are waiting, we pray that your Spirit would move among us, that the words that are read and spoken may be your word for us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the prophecy according to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Listen now for a word from God. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The second reading from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was updating my Advent and Christmas music collection a few years ago, I discovered a carol that was new to me, and it struck me from the first hearing because it features Joseph prominently, and Joseph doesn't usually get a whole lot of playtime in our Christmas carols. The Cherry Tree Carol is a folk carol with a murky history, as it goes with much folk music. Some date it back to the 15th century. Others claim it's from the 18th century. The roots of the story that the carol tells are actually more ancient than either of these. The story comes from the very early church, the first few centuries, from a gospel that does not make it into our scriptures. But the story that is told is of Mary and Joseph as they're traveling to Bethlehem, where she will eventually deliver her child. Along the way, the expectant Mary is hungry, and she asks Joseph to stop and get her a cherry from a tree in an orchard that they are passing, something for the baby. But Joseph snaps back bitterly, I hear, telling her to let the child's father get him a cherry himself. The music is sweet, but the words seem to carry some anger and bitterness that was new to me, a thought that hadn't occurred to me in the many years of hearing the story of Joseph. But when I heard it made sense. I can understand a depiction of Joseph where he gets angry about the situation in which he finds himself. He was a righteous man, the scriptures tell us. He was doing everything exactly right when suddenly, out of the blue, he is told that his fiancée is pregnant and he knows it's not his child. So anger seems like a reasonable response. Anger and fear. He may have had the word of the angel, but who was going to believe him? Would the men at the synagogue still trust him? Would those who counted him among the righteous now look down their noses at him and dismiss him, disrespect him? Would they even do business with him? Do not be afraid, the angel says, but I imagine Joseph responded with a little bit of confusion. Right. Do not be afraid. I can only imagine how it sounded to him. Do not be afraid. It's just your fiancée who is pregnant. Do not be afraid. I know it's not your child. Don't be afraid. It's a baby made by God. Don't be afraid. Keep your wife. Keep this child. It's all going to work out. He'll even save the people. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. But I still imagine a Joseph shaking in fear. Of course he would be afraid. Who wouldn't be? His life was a mess. Nothing was going the way he imagined it would. Nothing was going according to well thought out, even well deserved plans. His relationship was a mess. His place in the community with his friends was uncertain. His ability to work was at risk. And what were his choices? Divorce Mary quietly? Have her stoned? Or marry her anyway? His life was in utter turmoil. And I have to imagine he was consumed by a suffocating darkness and fear. I grew up on the east coast of Florida, and I was not a big fan of living there all the time, but when I was at the beach, I would like to go out into the ocean, past the place where the waves break. I still like to do it when I visit the beach now. Some people like to wait for the waves and ride them in on their bodies or on boards, but I like to swim past those breaks and ride those big swells while they're gaining energy before they spill over into that crashing white froth. But to get out to the rolling waves, you have to go past the crashing ones. And that isn't always easy. At least once every trip to the beach, a wave will get the best of me, And either I don't jump early enough to go over it, or I don't duck down far enough to go under it, the wave will catch me and toss me violently under the water. And when that happens, I lose all sense of direction. The salt water seeps into my eyes that are squeezed tightly shut. It drips into my mouth and rolls around on my tongue. It burns as it sneaks up my nose and down the back of my throat. And that rush of the water, it churns and fills my ears. And worst of all, there is total darkness, total disorientation. And no matter how many times I've had it happened, no matter how many times I've survived this momentary nightmare, there's this gut-grabbing fear. The world in Advent, the season of Advent, is like this. It's like Joseph's world. It's an uncertain place. It's a world, sometimes as we're looking towards family holidays, where relationships are messy, even painful. It's a world where some of our jobs, and especially the jobs of vulnerable people, are insecure. It's a world where betrayal breeds mistrust, where the ones we hope are righteous seem careless, where people make decisions out of anger and fear. Where people go hungry, people are tossed about by systems and cities, cold, disoriented, and lonely. We hear the news and people are at war with one another. It's a world where, like winter, the days only seem darker and darker as they pass, suffocating us sometimes with worry and anxiety. It can be a panicky situation. Disoriented, it can be hard to find out which way is up and which way will carry us back to the surface. Thrown about by powerful tides, it's difficult to know which way to turn to put the floor beneath our feet again. Yet, like Joseph, we are challenged to hear the angel's words, "Do not be afraid." While he tossed and turned in his restless sleep, he was reassured by a divine vision, "Do not be afraid." Like a swimmer opening her eyes, just even a crack, letting that salt water sting for just a little while, so she can peek longingly for a glimmer of light. Do not be afraid. The light tells you which way is up. The light reorients you, gives you the direction to go. The light will carry you to the surface where there is air and freedom and life. Joseph was a righteous man. He was a human man. He wasn't above anger. He wasn't above fear. He was a human being facing his worst nightmare. And his first response was completely understandable, to try to get out of there. But then, in a dream, through the voice of a divine messenger, he saw a glimmer in the darkness. In his darkest night, he saw the light of God's love shimmering even in the midst of his pain, even in the midst of his deepest fears. He opened his eyes, he opened his life to the light that would bring him to the surface, the light that would save him, carry him up from despair. Do not be afraid. For the child that is coming is Emmanuel, God with us. Do not be afraid, because he is God's presence, God's life. Do not be afraid, because every pain you feel, every loss you mourn, every anxiety you experience, you will experience with him at your side. Do not be afraid, for you are not alone. We are not alone. The world has not been abandoned to suffer in darkness. Do not be afraid, because God sends a Savior to walk with us, to heal us, to carry us into God's marvelous light. Do not be afraid, for God is with us. Amen.